And hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in show. I'm Brian Shields. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Are you cooking dinner this year, bringing a side dish or a dessert? We have a chef in the studio who can answer your questions about holiday cooking and beyond. Chef John Winnick can also talk about everything from teaching culinary arts to what you should cook for dinner. Tonight, John Winnick is the chef instructor at Market Bistro's Cooking School in Latham. He has over 30 years extensive cooking and teaching experience, including working at 43 Phila Bistro in Saratoga Springs, teaching at Saratoga and Hudson Falls BOCES and Saratoga Cooking Supply, and serving as president of the Glens Falls American Culinary Federation. We want to hear from you today. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, the number, 800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio using the hashtag VoxPop and the email voxpop@wamc.org. But the phones are wide open, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Chef Winnick, thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Chef brought in some wonderful things, and it just smells delicious in here. So why don't we start with just the listeners, unfortunately, you can't taste it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, but boy, it's good. What do we have here?
Okay, so I brought in a couple of different kind of sides. The first one is Brussels sprouts, everybody's favorite, right? But however, we do something a little bit different with them. We caramelize them with bacon. And that just makes everything taste better.
Bacon makes anything taste better,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We sprinkle in a little dried cranberries and some toasted walnuts and kind of bring in the whole dish with a little bit of butter and balsamic vinegar. And that's we cook those for about 20 minutes total time, 10 minutes in a saute pan, another 10 minutes in the oven, and they're perfect. It gets them nice and tender, which is what everyone likes with those. And the flavors develop. We also have a potato and butternut squash rosti cake, which is kind of my take on a potato pancake.
Yeah.
It's 50% butternut squash and Yukon Gold potato, which is shredded. And it's just held together by an egg and a little bit of flour and sautéed in the pan. And then we also have a pumpkin flavored buttermilk biscuit with a cranberry orange butter.
And it's absolutely delicious. All of it. It's amazing. 800-348-2551. So what are you going to do next Thursday?
Next Thursday, I'm actually flying south to Charlotte. I'm going to visit my family. My brother and his family and my mom live down there. So it's about every few years we try to make that trip. And we are doing everything, you name it. We're going to put a southern spin on it. We're going to make mac and cheese, cornbread stuffing with a little sausage. This is one of my all-time favorites is a bourbon maple scalloped yam. Green bean casserole and a nice turkey, and we're just going to brine it and roast it this year.
Turkey, it can be tough. I mean, if you undercook it, it's downright dangerous. If you overcook it, there's nothing worse than dry white meat from a turkey. So how do you get it right?
Well, you really just want to put a nice rub on it on the outside. A lot of people just don't do the simple things to a turkey, like season it well on the outside skin, make a wet rub, whether you take a little bit of olive oil and some dry herbs and rub it all over the outside of the skin. I like to put a little bit of butter underneath the skin as well. And, you know, you put a good roast on it and baste it constantly. Set a timer so that maybe every half an hour you're putting a nice baste on it. You can do the bag method, which works great too. But to be honest with you, the most moist turkey I've ever had was when I fried it.
Fried it. That's dangerous, though. I've seen these people.
It's dangerous if you're inside.
Yeah. But you see these people that are they put it on their deck for some unknown reason, and they lower the thing, and there's fire all over the place. So you got to be careful with that.
Well, that leads me into brining, too. Yeah. Brining adds moisture to a lot of lean meats, especially pork and things like turkey. And I love to put a brine on it because you can flavor a brine. And if you don't know what a brine is basically a mixture of kosher salt and water, and then you can add seasonings to it. And you basically dissolve the sugar and the seasonings, and then you put the turkey in the cool brine, and you let it soak a good 8 to 12 hours overnight, and then you pat it dry, and then you roast it, and all those flavors get incorporated. And that really seals in the moisture to a turkey.
And the size of the turkey is important, too, isn't it, to how long you have to keep it in the oven, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yes. Yeah, certain. It kind of breaks it down by, you start out at 6 to 8 pounds, you're looking at 2.5 to 3 hours, and that's an unstuffed bird. And then every time you go up a couple of pounds, say, for instance, an 8 to 12 pound, now you're looking at 3 to 3.5 hours. So, and if you stuff the bird, you attack on another 30 minutes to the time as well.
800-348-2551. Keep trying. The phone's already busy, and they're, in fact, all have been spoken for, but keep trying. And we start with Mary Ellen in Wilbraham. Mary Ellen, go ahead.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi. I'm having an argument with my husband about whether we can make mashed potatoes the day before and reheat them, and will they taste as good?
Well, that's a great question, and in my class the other night, we covered that. It certainly can be done. That's one of the things I normally wouldn't do ahead of time, just because you do lose a little bit of the quality, and then you have to reheat them, so you're adding some warm milk or warm cream and butter to them, so you're kind of reconstituting them. I would kind of hold off on doing them ahead of time, but it certainly can be done, so I guess I'm playing the fence here. it can be done. What's your argument? What's your side of the argument?
Oh, I wanted to do them ahead of time so that you can get the big pot out of the way washed and you don't have a mess.
Yeah, you can do it. It's just tough to bring those back to life to the same quality they were if they were freshly made.
I guess he wins, huh?
Yeah, go husbands.
All right.
There's everything else you can do ahead of time. You know, you can do all your other sides ahead of time.
He gets to watch the football, too. He doesn't have to clean up. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Linda in Old Chatham. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is perfect. I'm making a pumpkin pie for a potluck tonight, and I want to add dark rum to it.
Oh, that sounds pretty good to me, Captain Morgan.
So how much do I, tablespoons, quarter cup?
For 9 to 10-inch pie, I would think a tablespoon of rum would infuse enough flavor into the custard that you're making. And here's another little tip.
Yeah.
You could take some whipped cream. All right, just take some heavy cream and whip it up with a little sugar and add some rum to that. They even have rum extract, and then you could garnish with that and then get even more rum flavor if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, rum and the whipped cream. I could do both.
Yeah, absolutely. Get them twice.
And part B to this question. Mm-hmm. So I want to ring it with pecans. When do I put the pecans on? At the end of baking? Or
I'd put it toward the end. Maybe take it out of the oven and give it 10 more minutes so they can toast nicely without burning.
Right. Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You don't want to put too much in. I remember I had a friend who brought a rum cake once, and I'm glad I wasn't driving that night. So you got to be careful.
Oh, yeah. A little bit goes a long way.
800-348-2551. Sharon, go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. I was wondering if you have suggestions for a mushroom dish. I'm trying to think of something that has vegetables that taste like vegetables for Thanksgiving side dish.
Absolutely.
As opposed to like a green bean casserole.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I would do with mushrooms that are just off the top of my head. One is I would incorporate them into a type of casserole using green beans, and instead of doing the old canned beans, use fresh green beans and fresh mushrooms, and you saute those. And you
I really don't want a green bean casserole.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm saying,
so you're looking for mushrooms.
People are suggesting green bean casserole.
Oh, gotcha.
Like
gotcha.
A real vegetable sorry. Or a mushroom.
I went right where you didn't want me to go.
Yeah,
all right.
Sorry.
The other thing is you incorporate them into a stuffing as well and have them be the star of the stuffing. Saute them and fold them into the breadcrumbs. Mushrooms themselves, you can certainly... another thing I would do is make a mushroom flan, where you saute those and add some heavy cream to them, an egg, and some spices, and you kind of bake that off so it's almost like a light custardy side dish. Or just grab some really good different kinds of mushrooms and roast them really nicely.
Has them pretty good?
Thank you.
Does that help you?
thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. Before we take another call, let's talk a little bit about what you do, the Market Bistro. You give some cooking classes. I'm looking at the brochure here. On Monday, you had Thanksgiving size. You have Polish cooking, All-American Family Night, Shopped for Couples, all sorts of things. Thanksgiving sides, what do you recommend?
Thanksgiving sides, well, while turkey is certainly the star of the show every Thanksgiving, it's really all about the sides. And when I think of sides, I think of balance and textures, colors, different starches. Things tend to be a little starchy, so you have to go outside the box and think about your vegetables, like the woman who just called. Mushrooms can be very light and filling as well. I just like to make sure that I have a couple different starches in there. I like to be creative with my stuffings. There's the traditional with sage and chopped bread cubes and chicken stock, but I like to use cornbread. I like to throw a sausage in there. I always make sure I throw an onion and celery in there and saute that up nice to get those aromatics going. You can certainly do the simple things too, like a nice whipped potato. Change your potato up. Maybe you're using Idaho's. Use Yukon Golds or do a Redskin Smash. There's so many directions to go. Make sure you get some yams involved there as well.
800-348-2551. More calls on Food Friday before Thanksgiving in just a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine, open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, presenting new works by David Konsigsberg, Stephen King, and Ralph Stout. Artist reception Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m., open 7 days, carriehaddadgallery.com. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. The Urological Institute, offering urologic oncology services with prostate specialists using active monitoring protocols designed to help avoid or postpone cancer treatments through imaging and genomic testing. UrologyOncology.com. And Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Stephen Merritt of the Magnetic Fields in concert on Saturday and live music with San Furman on December 5th, massmocha.org.
And by the way, this chef's recipes of the wonderful, wonderful dishes he brought in today will be online at WAMC.org, our website, right after the program. So if you want to take a page from the chef's wonderful recipes, please do so at WAMC.org. The number to call here, 800-348-2551. Chef John Winnick is our guest. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Who isn't? What about vegetarians? It's got to be a rough day for vegetarians. What do you suggest?
I think it's only rough as far as the proteins go. And like that woman who just called, you can certainly take something like a portobello mushroom and make that the star of your show and work around that. But it's really all about the sides. You can be so creative with different textures and colors and use your root vegetables that are out there and really go kind of crazy with the side dishes. And to be honest with you, whenever anybody came into the restaurant and was a vegetarian when I was running the restaurant at 43 Phyla, we got kind of excited because we always had lots of options for them. And they were always very happy. And it's not always about trying to find a different protein. You can go crazy with your side dishes with starches and vegetables.
Chef John Winnick, Chef Instructor John Winnick of the Market Bistro Cooking School is our guest today. And our next caller comes from Rhinebeck, Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I want to make a salad with leafy greens, smelly crumbly cheese, and toasted walnuts.
Awesome.
And I want great toasted walnuts.
All right. Have you ever thought about candying the nuts as well?
Yeah, that's, you know, I've gone to restaurants and I've had it in the salad, and sometimes they're great, and sometimes they're just walnuts.
All right, so this is what I do, all right? I'll go slow. You take your walnuts, and you're going to melt a little bit of butter, all right? And you're going to coat those walnuts in the melted butter. Not enough to totally coat them, just enough to give them a nice shine. And then I sprinkle in either brown sugar or regular sugar, just enough to coat them. And then I spread them out on a baking tray and bake them at 350 for about 15 to 20 minutes. And then just let them cool on that tray, and they'll be good for a couple of days. So you can do this ahead of time, and it's going to be like candy. You're going to love it. You can do it with pecans. You can do it with walnuts. Yep. Leave them whole.
I can keep them on hand. Go
Absolutely. Yep. We used to do them in the restaurant. They last for like a week in a Tupperware container. So you're good to go with those.
Okay. A little butter, a little brown sugar. 15 minutes at 300.
I think a lot of people make the mistake of putting them in a pan, and you lose them in the pan with the butter. And in the oven, you get nice, even heating and even cooking, and you should be fine. 15 to 20 minutes.
Got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551 on this Food Friday. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio using the hashtag VoxPop. And, of course, there's email as well, voxpop@WAMC.org. The number, 800-348-2551. And Elliot and Lennox, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question for your expert cook, and it has to do with sodium, adding sodium. Mm-hmm. I love to stir fry. And the question I have is, salt versus soy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the flavor of soy, but the question I have is, when should we add it? Should we add it just as you start cooking, or should you wait until it's on the table, or does it matter?
That's a great question. And when I do stir fry, I totally eliminate salt in the recipe. And when I add soy, and I always go for like a light soy as well, which helps limit
yeah.
the sodium intake, but I always add it near the end. And the reasoning why is because if you add liquid to the pan, such as a soy or any water or anything like that to the pan, it's going to start to steam and you lose that whole frying method. Drizzle in your soy and let it kind of coat everything nicely. And there should be no reason to have it on the table if you've done your job seasoning. But that's kind of how to work it.
Now, what you just said brings up another question. I can never get my pan hot enough
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't steam.
Right.
I mean, to maximize the heat in the pan, how long should I let it just sit without anything in it, or what would you recommend?
That's another good question, and I always recommend for the people that come in the cooking school to please get your pan hot. And everyone has different pans. If it's a thinner pan, it won't take as long, but if it's a kind of a thick, solid bottom base pan, you got to give it time to heat up. Sometimes up to 3 to 4 minutes before adding anything to the pan is a good idea. And then, of course, here's a little trick. If you put your oil in the pan, all right, and you still can't tell, take just a little bit of water on the tips of your finger and sprinkle it in, and if it pops, it's ready to go.
Well, that's great information, and
okay.
I do have one of those thick-based pans.
Yeah, give it a couple more minutes.
Yeah, great.
All
okay,
right.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Elliot. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you very much for calling, Elliot. 800-348-2551. Holiday cooking with Chef Instructor John Winnick of the Market Bistro Cooking School is our guest. 800-348-2551. 1 week from today, we'll be full of leftovers. What do we do with them?
Well, that's a whole other episode.
You warm up the turkey and it dries it out. The more you warm it up,
yep.
So it's better just cold sandwiches, you think, or how do you?
No, to be honest with you, if you have leftovers, utilize mm-hmm. those leftovers. You take this is what I do. I'll take that dark meat
mm-hmm.
or even the dark and the breast meat, and I'll lay that out into a casserole dish, and I'll pour some gravy over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And even put some stuffing on top of that. And then all of a sudden, you put foil over that, throw that in the oven, and let it come up to temperature, and it's going to stay moist that way. The worst thing you can do is leave your turkey kind of like not covered,
mm-hmm.
and that helps. But, you know, that turkey, if you cooked it right, it should be good for a couple different reheats.
I don't know if we've mentioned stuffing yet. There's the traditional bread-based stuffing. What else is there that we can consider?
Well, there's cornbread. The other night, I made a pumpernickel one with apples and sausage and raisins, and that came out wonderful. So you can certainly change up your bread product to get a different flavor as well.
Something you wouldn't want. This was many years ago,
sure.
And I'm sure they're not listening, but I had dinner with someone, and the stuffing, they put all sorts of stuff in it, and it was just awfully busy, and it wasn't very good.
Sometimes it can be too busy.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
absolutely.
What do you keep out of stuffing? What do you think? Just, you know, sometimes you can overdo it maybe.
Yeah, you want to keep it to maybe 2 to 3 aromatics, like a celery and an onion, maybe garlic. Although I wouldn't throw garlic in there, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
That can kind of overplay any dish, especially with stuffing when you're going for savory stuff. You want to be careful on too many fresh herbs, too, because
mm-hmm.
they can overplay, like rosemary and sage can really kind of overpower.
1-800-348-2551. Barbara's going to make an apple pie.
Yes, hi. My name is Barbara. And we always have a lot of people for Thanksgiving and a lot of really excellent chefs. They always ask me to make an apple pie. There's always 5 or 6 different pies there.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do something special. I want to put some liquor in my apple pie. How do I do that?
I
make a butter-based, I make a crust
mm-hmm.
out of, you know, with the flour and butter. And I usually use spy apples and... you know, fresh nutmeg and cinnamon.
Yep. So
the basic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is I would take those apples and you get them all ready for the pie. And instead of just throwing them in raw, like a lot of people do, I would saute those in butter and I would deglaze that pan with some Calvados or some brandy.
Some what or brandy did you say?
Calvados. It's an apple flavored brandy. You can just use a simple Calvados is the more name brand. But that would really kind of amp up your apple pie game. You just flame it off. If you're doing a one pie and you got maybe 5 or 6 apples in there, you probably use a quarter of a cup of that brandy and flame it off and just toss that. That flavor will build all through the baking process as well. So I've done that pie before.
Right.
Calvados apple pie. You can't go wrong.
Thank you very much.
All right. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Maybe wine. Would wine work since it's fruity as well, a lot of it?
Yeah, but you want to use a good fortified liquor or wine when you do something like that. The wine would almost cook off.
Thunderbird?
And
no.
I don't know. I go with the classics.
Okay. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. And Linda. Linda in Saratoga. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you,
Hello.
Linda?
Good. I'm good. My question is not to do with Thanksgiving, sorry, but it is to do with dealing with chefs or with restaurants when you have multiple food issues. I'm on an autoimmune diet because I have autoimmune disease, and I have probably 6 or 8 things that I can't have. I've developed a little cheat sheet that I bring with me and give, or sometimes I call ahead, but even then sometimes it's difficult. So what's my best strategy when going to and I'm talking about a nice restaurant, so not like a chain place
sure.
where things are already prepared.
Sure.
What's my best strategy for dealing with restaurants and chefs?
Well, Linda, I certainly
so that I don't drive them crazy.
No, I understand that. I hear both sides of the story, but when I was in the business, I took it very seriously because the bottom line is the customer's coming out to enjoy themselves, and you want to go above and beyond if you can certainly do so. So I think it really does depend on the chef and the restaurant. So
yeah.
You'll have to pick and choose those places, and the ones that take care
yeah.
of you, then that's where you'll go back. But I think
right.
nowadays chefs are a little bit more inclined to listen a little bit more carefully and be more sensitive to health issues because you can make somebody very sick or worse.
Right.
But I take that very seriously. So if I can take care of the problem or the issue, I will certainly do so. But, of course, I don't have a restaurant anymore. But I think you just got to you're doing your due diligence. You're seeking, information before. It's probably best to do it before you go out so that it's not a last-minute
right.
request. That's all.
Well, even sometimes when I've done that, when I get there, it seems as if, they don't really remember it or I don't know. So often, sometimes I find the best thing is to talk to the chef if they'll let me.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, because then
yeah.
it gets lost in translation, too. You just never know
yeah.
who's giving that message. And most chefs, to be honest with you, I would be
yeah.
more than happy to have somebody come back and talk with me in the kitchen. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's probably my best thing. And is it helpful to bring some sort of a little, sheet that has it listed? Is that helpful?
Absolutely, because chefs go crazy. They have a lot on their minds, and they're trying to get ready for a busy production. And if you can have something that's on paper and more concrete, it's more apt for them to remember and follow
okay.
through. It's all about the details in the restaurant business. And,
yeah.
don't go through the front door. Look for the back. Go through the back
all
door.
Right.
Just walk in like you're a regular
waiter.
Cook or something.
I can do that.
There you
no,
go.
I can do that.
Always
right,
go. Always go in there like you own the place.
Thank you for calling, Linda. Linda mentioned some of the dietary restrictions, and you think about peanuts and
uh-huh.
peanut allergies. You got to be careful when you're cooking now with peanuts or gluten or some of the things.
You have
that
to be careful with everything now.
Yeah.
You can't assume anything. We have people that come to the cooking school the night of, and we're using garlic in 3 recipes, and they say they can't have garlic. So it's like, what do you do?
I've never heard of that.
Sure.
Really?
I'm just using that as an example
yeah.
because it actually happened. So we kind of to be honest with you, nowadays you have to be so careful. You're better off saying, well, maybe you should,
yeah.
go somewhere else or eat at home where you can be 100% more careful. It's really hard.
Let's talk about the cranberry sauce,
Alrighty.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can't make their own. It comes in the can. You pour it out. It's got that shape of the can and all the indentations of the can on it. Not very appetizing, but still pretty good.
Yep,
sure. But...
It's not
how
hard
do you dress
make.
It up? How it's, do you first of all don't let it look like the can when you put it on the table, but maybe
no.
mash it up. But what should you do with it?
Well, if you're using the can and like you're talking there, you definitely want to maybe put it into a mixing bowl and just kind of chop it up a little bit
mm-hmm.
with a whisk or a spoon or a fork. And you can add stuff to it. You could take if you want to go the canned route, you can open up a can of mandarin oranges and drain those and fold those in so you get that nice citrus note in there and you get a little bit of chunk to it. To be honest with you, but it's not hard to make it either.
No, it isn't, really.
To be honest with you, you just buy those bags, that 1-pound bag of cranberries, you add a little orange juice to it, some sugar, and you cook it on simmer for 30 minutes, and you got cranberry relish, and you can dress it up from there.
800-348-2551. Pat is in Cambridge. Pat.
Oh, hello. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I always do. And let's see now. I have a couple questions. I'd like to have the chef's recipe for his green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Or will it be online later?
That one's not online right now because it wasn't included in the in what I did. So, to be honest with you, I'd give you a quick rundown if you don't
sure,
if you don't
go ahead,
mind.
I got a pencil.
All right. First thing you need to do is you got to make a like a bechamel sauce, which is
sure.
a thickened milk. Okay.
Fine.
All right. So you make that. Then you got to saute some nice mushrooms, and that's kind
great.
Of on you is what kind of mushrooms you want.
Yep.
All right. And then you have the green beans, and I blanch those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now you pretty much have the basic components. And then, of course,
sure.
you got to have those fried onions on top. And
all
you can eat it.
Okay,
I've done those myself. If you have like a Dutch oven, you can fill it with oil and get it hot and then fry some onions, like some shoestring onions, or just buy the fried ones on top. But
okay.
You kind of combine those elements, the saute.
Sure.
You want to cook everything ahead and then fold it in and lay it out on a casserole and top it with those fried onions. And that's what I do. It's just,
good.
It's better than doing the canned, you know,
oh,
and the mushroom soup and all
oh,
that.
Of course. And
there's nothing wrong with that, though. It tastes good. I ate it growing up. But if you can do
yeah,
it on your
I
own,
it.
It just kind of makes a big difference.
And about the nuts that you just described, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't have my pencil
sure,
in my hand.
Sure,
how long do you leave them in the oven?
About 15.
I always do mine on top of the stove, and it doesn't work out
right.
So well.
15 to 20 minutes in a 350 to 375 oven.
Later. With sugar, and was there something else?
There was a little melted butter, just
butter.
Enough, you know, and
right.
a little bit of sugar, just to kind of, so
wonderful.
They'll candy.
Yep. I love the Calvados apples pie. I'm going to try that.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. Green beans are something most people don't seek out on their own. Like, boy, I can't wait to have green beans tonight. But
right.
when it's with something else, when
mm-hmm.
you mix it together, it can be very good.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Camille in Chesterfield. Camille.
Hi. I have a suggestion, which may be religious to you, and a question. So my suggestion is we have a lot of people over for Thanksgiving and not a big cooking space.
Yep.
So we cook turkeys up a day or two in advance, slice them, and then put them in the seal-a-meal bags with your beans.
Mm-hmm.
And then come Thanksgiving Day, they're cook-in bags, and you can just drop them in a pot of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the white meat is so moist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my sacrilegious idea.
Yeah.
My question is, for somebody who's not a great baker, can you recommend a good recipe for a pie crust?
Yes. Really, you only need three ingredients for a pie crust, and that's flour, and you need fat, which is usually butter or shortening, and you need water. And it's three parts. It's 3-2-1. If you can remember 3-2-1, all right? Three parts flour, two parts butter, one part water. And the trick is ice water, all right?
Okay.
So you combine, and you can certainly do this by hand and with a fork. Or a pastry cutter, or if you have a one of those food processors, you actually
mm-hmm.
put your cold butter with your flour and you pulse it just until it gets really nice, yeah, like
okay.
a fine meal. And then you drizzle in a few tablespoons of cold water until it comes together, and then you're done. And,
is there any special flour we should use? Or?
No, just all-purpose pastry flour. Yep, absolutely.
Excellent.
Yep.
Great.
We have
Thank
a class.
You.
We have a class coming up. We're going to make a lot of pies this way.
Oh, good.
All right.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
And for more information on those classes, marketbistro.com/cookingschool. Marketbistro, one word, .com/cookingschool. 800-348-2551 is the number to call on Vox Pop. And what about alternatives to pies for desserts on Thanksgiving?
Mm.
You know, the pie is king when it comes to Thanksgiving dessert, I guess. But, you know, you're kind of full by the time the turkey and everything else is gone. And maybe the pie is just too much. Any other alternatives you might suggest?
Well, I got to tell you, one of my favorites, and it's kind of... You know, pumpkin-y, but you make a pumpkin creme brulee, which is really nice, and a creme brulee is always lighter. It's like a custard. You could certainly make a pumpkin roll as well, which is kind of a different because it's more like a jelly roll with that cream cheese frosting inside. What else? See, pies are kind of like where you go with Thanksgiving.
Little ice cream, a little sherbet.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
800-348-2551. Our next caller is Bill in Danforth. Go ahead, Bill.
I got to ask the cook a question. Did you ever hear of the dressing, butterscotch dressing?
No, I haven't.
And how about the other one, that cornmeal?
Oh, cornbread?
Yes.
Oh, cornbread. Awesome. One of my favorite stuffings to make is with cornbread. Absolutely.
What do you add to that?
Well, you add, you know, you certainly would maybe chop an onion and some celery and some chicken broth, and you just kind of, you treat it just like you would traditional stuffing, except you're playing around with the bread. But to be honest with you, if I add anything else other than that, I would add either bacon or some really good, maybe a different kind of sausage to it. and fold that in. Absolutely. Maybe a little maple syrup, too, to sweeten it up.
Very good. Yeah. I was just wondering because that's what I was looking for.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you ever met anyone who doesn't like bacon?
I don't think
that person's been born yet. Maybe they're out there, but 800-348-2551. More calls on Food Friday in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. Oakwood Friends School, Poughkeepsie, an independent college preparatory boarding and day school for grades 6 through 12, dedicated to creating a dynamic community of learners since 1796, oakwoodfriends.org, and the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans. So our past has a future, preservenys.org.
This is Vox Pop on WAMC. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We're talking Thanksgiving with chef instructor John Winnick of the Market Bistro Cooking School. 800-348-2551. Line's very busy. Kim and East Fishkill, go ahead.
Hi. I'm enjoying your show very much.
Great.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a question about squash. I've had a Kabocas Japanese squash, which is very chestnut tasting. It makes a lovely roasted, but do you have any tips for how to cut it?
it's a tough one to get at, isn't it? You got to have a nice sharp, probably 8 or 9 inch chef knife or even a cleaver to kind of go at it. But if you have a good knife skills, you just be careful and line up a chef knife, and I start at the top and go right down the middle and then maybe quarter it from there and scoop out the seeds and then go from there. That's how I would attack it.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a tough one. And I have a use for the leftover calvados for your caller from earlier. I'm planning to make for Thanksgiving. It's a pumpkin ginger snap tiramisu.
Ooh.
And you soak the ginger snaps in the calvados.
Sounds great.
So if she's looking for something else to give a kick to her guests, she could try it. It's really yummy.
All right.
Serves about a million.
Sounds great.
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of hangovers next Friday.
Yeah.
800-348-2551 today on Vox Pop. Ross in New Windsor, go ahead.
Hi, Chef. Thanks very much. You just helped me with green beans and cranberries. I'm grateful.
Awesome.
What one new thing might you add to Thanksgiving feast this year? Something with chestnuts, maybe, or
chestnuts,
some other weird idea?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with chestnuts, to be honest with you, so I'm going to send you a different route.
Good.
To be honest, when I think about fall and harvest, there's a ton of root vegetables out there, and you could certainly make a really nice side dish if you did like a root vegetable gratin, okay?
Ah.
And, you know, I don't know if you love beets, but I like a yellow beet or a golden beet.
All right,
and maybe mix in some parsnip and turnip and rutabaga. And no one uses these vegetables. Very rare do you see people buying them up and doing something with them because, you know, they take a little bit of work to prep. But once you get them peeled and shaved, if you have a mandolin, they're easy to work with. And you could stack those and layer them and do like almost like a scallop potato dish, you know, cook down cream and the butter. I would suggest that, something different.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, sir.
Yep, have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you for calling. Is there any difference between a yam and a sweet potato? Is it the same thing?
Well, it's pretty close to the same thing. One is more starchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sweet potato has more starch and a yam is more sweet.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Steve in Saratoga. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I just heard your chef talking earlier about going down south with and putting northern and southern twist together. I have a good friend from Georgia, and he's lived up here for most of his life, and he ran out of taro syrup to make a pecan pie several years ago and replaced half of the quantity with maple syrup, and since then we've never made the pecan pie any other way.
Right.
So if you want to incorporate that into your trip, I thought that was one of those twists of fate that happened.
Absolutely, yeah. Maple, and we're doing a pecan pie at the cooking school. We're going to use bourbon and maple syrup in it. So those two things go.
Thank you.
More bourbon.
More bourbon, exactly.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551 in Cooperstown. It's Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You're talking about cranberry sauce. My family makes two different things with cranberries. We do a sauce, as you mentioned. And we also had a recipe from an early American cookbook for a cranberry relish.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the term relish to differentiate. That's the one that doesn't get cooked. And you take your authentic early American Cuisinart and you put an orange into it. You've quartered it or cut it in eighths.
Mm-hmm.
So you pulse your orange a little bit till it's well chopped, and then you add your cranberries and add some sugar, maybe 3/4 cup, and some honey. You have to taste it to check on that. And then I think there's some ground ginger in it. My son has gotten to be the master of the cranberry relish, so I'm not the
Sounds like you have the right ingredients going along there, and
then you put chopped walnuts in,
I think we're losing Kathy, but thank you very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Ellen in Medusa. Ellen, go ahead.
Hello, I'm glad to get through. I have a question about how long a frozen turkey will stay frozen.
As long as he can stay frozen, they last a long time. Probably a couple of months in your freezer if you have the space.
Now, a couple, you mean two?
Sure.
What about three?
Yep, I would say that would be fine. Yep, as long as there's no case for it to thaw out, it'll stay fine in that packaging that they put it in today.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you very much.
Sure.
What do you suggest when buying a turkey? I mean, we know there's the major brands, but Butterball, et cetera. But what are you looking for when you buy a turkey?
To be honest with you, a lot of them are the same out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, a turkey is a turkey. I think you got to think about maybe whether you want to go with an organic turkey or if it had a special diet, because then it actually changes the texture and the flavor. But for the most part, the ones that are out there right now, they're pretty good. It's all in what you do to the turkey.
It's not what the turkey does to you, no?
Yeah, no.
800-348-2551 in West Springfield. Tyler, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So what I wanted to talk about is preparing the turkey. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got every family member you go to, they always have different ways of making their own signature recipe with the turkey. But the main problem I find is most of the time, you get a dry turkey, and what I found a way is when you thaw out the turkey and you're preparing it in the morning, what I do is I lift up the skin, I make a batch of like butter and pesto oil, and I mix it together, and under the skin, all around the turkey, whether it's the legs, the breast, or even the wings, I put it under the skin and have it cook with it. Right under the skin, and it works perfectly.
Yes, it creates that nice crust on the outside, and that seals in the moisture. So that's a good thing that you're doing.
It gives it that nice golden brown.
Absolutely, yep. And I always make sure that there's some basting liquid in the bottom of the pan too, so it doesn't dry out in the oven.
Oh yeah, I do every 30 minutes.
Nice. Sounds like you got yourself a good turkey every year. Keep doing
that. Oh yeah, it's really good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Tyler. 800-348-2551. Chef Instructor John Winnick of the Market Bistro Cooking School is our guest. About 10 minutes left. Get your calls in now at 800-348-2551. Kelly in Albany.
Hi, Hi, I'm calling. I got some great cranberries from a CSA, and I would love to incorporate them with some brie for an appetizer. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions on how to do that?
Yes. Now, your cranberries, you want to cook those down so they're nice and soft until they burst, and you can do that, you know, any number of ways. As far as incorporating the brie, what I would do, there's a couple different ways. I would make sure you get some puff pastry, okay, mm-hmm. and thaw that out, and that would, now your cranberries and your brie will be cool, of course, and mm-hmm. roll that puff pastry out and kind of make like a, like a pinwheel, okay, and roll that up and bake, tuck in the sides and put an egg wash on it and bake it off, and then you can slice that and have it like a little appetizer, or you can do mm-hmm. little individual cups using phyllo dough and put mm-hmm. a little bit of brie in there and the cranberries on top, and that's so simple, but it's a nice little crunchy bite, and you have the creamy brie and then the nice cranberry flavor on top. That's what I would do.
All right. That sounds perfect. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. My favorite fruit, bacon. Teresa, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
You guys are great. I was just thinking back to when you were talking about who doesn't like bacon. And I love bacon, but I don't eat it because it's not very healthy. And I have lots of friends that are Muslim and Jewish that don't eat bacon. So I think I'd be a little careful about talking about who doesn't like bacon. It's quite a sore spot with some people. You know, they have to ask every time they go to a restaurant, is this cooked with bacon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's something that I know I have to think about because I actually have some relatives now that my daughter married into a Muslim family. And so we have to check every time we go anywhere and make sure there's not bacon or some kind of ham or pork product in the food.
Definitely a concern.
So that's something just, you know, to be a little bit more aware of. Have it more in the front of your mind sometimes.
All right. Thank you for calling, Teresa. Let's talk to Renee in Saratoga.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I was just going to comment about the person who asked about chestnuts. I make a very simple chestnut soup.
Yes.
Which has chestnuts with a bit of carrots, and you just simmer them in some chicken broth, and then do the, you know, blender thing, the stick blender, and add a little bit of cream.
Yes.
And it's very simple.
That's about all I've ever done with chestnuts is make a nice, beautiful soup with it and kind of turn it into a bisque.
Soups are so nice. This year I'm making sunchoke soup here.
Oh, nice. You kind of forget about soups when it comes to Thanksgiving, but it's a nice way to start the meal, too.
Yes, it is. And the sunchoke soup I put, it's just sunchokes with a little bit of onion and potatoes, again, in chicken broth with pumpkin seed oil on top.
Nice. You know, next time you make it, you bring me a little bit. Sounds delicious.
And then a couple other things that I usually make are a chocolate cake with pumpkin mousse, which is a little different, but it goes so well together.
Sure.
And my mom's cranberry sauce is a very old recipe that you use a meat grinder, and it's raw cranberries with apples.
Mm-hmm.
Grind them together, let them sit overnight with some sugar, and then some cherry Jell-O.
Stirred
in, and it's and walnuts, and that's all it is. It's so simple, but it's so delicious.
See, and that's what I like about Thanksgiving. It's all about tradition mm-hmm. and recipes that are tried and true. And, you know, everyone's always trying to recreate things, but sometimes it's just nice to go with the classics and go with what grandma made because she knows best.
Right.
Thanks for the
call.
Thank
you.
Thank you for calling. Let's talk to Anna in Plainfield. Anna.
Hi.
Hi.
Talking about how grandma made it, I was going to suggest that you maybe add organic lard to your list of fat for pie crust?
Absolutely. Lard definitely works best in pies. Absolutely.
Yeah,
just make sure it's cold.
Yeah.
Did I just hear a rooster?
Yeah, I just heard a rooster.
That's right. There are also pigs in the background.
He's lucky he's not a turkey. I think that's what he's saying.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
What is lard? Is Crisco lard? Is lard fat? I mean, exactly what is it?
Yeah, it's lard is... it's a composite of different fats, and it usually comes from an animal.
We probably don't want to know what it is. Is that it? Well,
yeah. It's just
yeah. Don't ask too many questions about lard. 800-348-25. Oh, gravy. We haven't talked about gravy
yet. Right?
Jesse wants to talk about gravy. Jesse's in Troy. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I had a question. Mm-hmm. Last year we did two turkeys. We did one traditional and then one we deep fried. But we realized that when you're deep frying a turkey,
yep.
what do you do about basting liquid? Because you don't end up with the great pan dripping.
Right. So you go to the store and get some turkey stock or chicken stock. Turkey stock is available. And you make your gravy from that. You just make a roux and thicken that, bring that to a boil and add your roux to that. And then you got turkey gravy without the drippings.
That works best. Great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. A few minutes left. Judy in Highland. Judy.
Yeah, hi. Years ago, the thermometers, which you put into the turkey, used to say it was done around 180, between 180 and 190, mm-hmm. and now they're saying 165. What is the correct temperature
The old school thought is 180 degrees internal temperature, and that's still what a lot of recipes say. However, the New York State Health Department says 165 for poultry. So, you know, anywhere between 165 and 180, you're going to be safe to eat it. I think they do it with a turkey because it's such a large animal and 180 degrees to kind of get in all the thicker muscles, like the where the thigh and the drumstick is, where the bone is. You want to make sure it's definitely between 165 and 180. So.
Right, yeah, I don't want to do 165. I always got nervous. Could I tell you a very quick recipe that I do for cranberry?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can of whole cranberries, crushed pineapple drained, mandarin oranges drained, dark sweet pitted cherries drained, and walnut. It's very good.
Hmm. Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. John in Kingston, go ahead. John?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm actually from New Haven, Connecticut, but I'm visiting in Kingston.
Okay.
And your show's been wonderful, but I wonder about wild turkey. You know, not the kind that comes in a bottle.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We've been talking a lot about booze today.
Yeah, you guys have. And I've never had it, but I'm interested in.
Kind of alluding to earlier, a wild turkey, and I had it when I was cooking in Vermont. We had a lot of wild game birds, and they have a different diet, so. Their flavor is slightly different. It can be a little gamier, but it's fantastic. You treat it just like a normal bird, but if you can get your hands on one, obviously, you're going to enjoy it.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy the flavor. Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
Enjoy. Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for calling in. Let's go now to Lisa in Scotia. Lisa.
Hey, good afternoon, and happy Thanksgiving to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What I would like to say is... the gentleman that called about the pesto under the skin sounds delicious, pesto being one of my favorite flavors. However, I do love a turkey gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've found that when brining a turkey and using apple juices and sugars, mm-hmm. it affects the flavor of the turkey. So my question will be,
mm-hmm.
do you find brining as a necessity, and is there a brining process that can bring out the natural flavor of the turkey and not add flavors?
Okay, I would say on the brining, a lot of people go crazy with their additions on their flavorings. But classically, a brine is kosher salt and water. And that is about as natural you can get without affecting the flavor of the turkey. That's just going to, all it's going to affect is the moisture. All right? So,
It'll give you a moister turkey.
Yeah, moister turkey, yep, because it seals in the juices. And when I did my brine the other day with the maple and everything, you could certainly taste it in the skin. You could taste it even in the pan dripping. So you were right to mention that, because a lot of people think about brining as it's a lot of different flavors. But just mm-hmm. do the kosher salt in the water, and you'll be happy.
So what is, like, the ratio of water to
Great question. It's a cup of kosher salt for every gallon of water.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and then you should just immerse your turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and 8 to 12 hours. Overnight's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything more, it's going to taste really salty. So, yeah, keep it to 12 hours. Yeah, great question. Good call.
Thank you. Awesome.
We are just about out of time. Probably not enough time to take another call. So I'll finish with this question. How do you slice the turkey the right way? Neil Golub of Price Chopper.
I knew you were going to say that.
He used to go on TV this time of the year, show you how to slice a turkey. Yeah. How do you do it right without wrecking the bird?
Well, I always kind of go right down where the breast is and go one side or the other and cut one breast out, lay it flat, and then slice it that way. And then once you get the breast done, then you can get into the dark meat where the leg and the thigh is.
Not too thick, not too thin, just sort of, or do you taper it to what people like?
Well, you know, not too thin.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 1/4 inch is perfect size. You got to make it right for those sandwiches, you know.
Yeah, that's right. We are out of time. My apologies to those people we left on the line today. For more on what you heard today, visit WAMC.org. Thanks to our guest, John Winnick, and his recipes will be online at WAMC.org. Some of the recipes we mentioned today. Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. The Daily Grind Cafe, 46 3rd Street in Troy, offering breakfast, freshly baked pastries, soup, sandwiches, and desserts. Open mic every Thursday night, dailygrind.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Monday, it's Medical Monday. I'm Brian Shields. Stay tuned now for a news update.